Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
Yes, this is Dan. As we mentioned, Wes Blakey's here.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Wes. What's Mayor doing today?
You know, I don't know. He just told me last night that he wouldn't be able to make it. He didn't tell me what he was doing. I don't keep that close a track of him.
All right. Somebody should.
And he doesn't of me, so I appreciate that.
That's all right. Well, let's see. Well, City Council did meet, so I guess we'll talk about that.
Yeah, they did. It was a relatively short meeting. We were out of there by 6:30, but I think half of that was in closed session talking about some land purchase and property purchase that we can get into a little bit at the
a
end.
A little bit, okay.
But yeah, about a little over half an hour for the other items on the agenda.
Okay, we'll save that to the end.
Yeah.
You can tell me how things are leaning at least.
Sure, yes.
All right, well, let's see. Looks like fire chief was, well, assistant fire chief is on the agenda.
You know, I think that changed three times. It was actually Phil last night.
Well, Phil was actually there.
We thought it was going to be Jordan Widner, and then Tom Severs was changed the agenda, and then Tom couldn't make it, so Phil was back. So
I'm confused.
Yeah, I was very confused when Phil was there. But no, Phil Monahan, fire chief, had two appointments. Neither one could be there. But Megan Earhart and Danielle Witt were both approved. Megan is in the healthcare industry, and so she was working. She couldn't get off till like 6:30 or so. So she was with another fire department prior, so she has experience there. And then Danielle Witt is a college student, and she was on the Bellevue department, and she's an EMT. So that's always very, very good to have EMTs around. We're up to 11 EMTs on the department now, so that's a pretty good number for us.
I feel safer when they're around
at my
age.
Bring on the EMTs. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just worried about my CPR renewal here, Dan, coming up. So yeah, I would not make a good EMT, that's for sure.
No, I took a class once, and I was never very good at, very comfortable with the CPR stuff.
Yeah, I don't do blood, so I don't think I
you
would
don't
be.
Do blood?
No, I don't. I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it, really, making me woozy
you
right now.
You and a lot
Dan.
Of other people, yes. Yeah. We won't talk any more about blood today.
So, no, they were both unanimously approved, so we have two new police or fire department. Next one, we had a pay application to OCC Builders, Audi Construction, for Freedom Park Trailhead Project. That was for $18,000, payment number 3. Slow up in that area. They're working inside now, so you won't see much. They've got the floor re-poured. We'll have radiant heat in the floor up there. They also have some pilings that are poured to the south where a new shelter house area will be. So they got that part done. They just can't do a whole lot with it now. So I'll be working inside as that is improved up there. Don't have a date for you when it won't be done in the spring like we had hoped 6-9 months ago or so. But I think we have to have it done by spring of 2024. So we've got time to do it for grant funds and things.
Okay.
This was heavily funded by grant funds. So that was approved. Then we had the next four items are all about Chicago and Lincoln Street. Had a couple change orders that were approved as well as final pay apps for those projects. So Chicago Street and South Lincoln Street, that is completed, except there'll be some spring cleanup and then also seating. The contractor has to do South Lincoln Street. That will be hydro-seated. And then the city proper will be doing the seating along Chicago Street.
Okay.
So those two projects.
Are we looking for those lots to be developed anytime soon?
Well, along Chicago Street, the city, Lincoln and Chicago Street, the city still owns three lots there. And then Battle Creek Cooperative owns two lots.
Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure what they'll be doing with theirs. But I mean, it's one of those things. We're not requesting proposals for anything at this point. If somebody came to us and had an idea of, hey, you've got three lots, I'd like to put three new houses down there.
I'm sure we would. I was kind of thinking along those
entertain
lines.
That, but we're not in a hurry at this point. I'm sure when spring hits, we'll be making some more movements down there. Initially, we talked about moving additional houses into the area, like we did with the White House on 7th and Main. I don't know what the appetite of that is. That was a project that it went well. It's just there's lots of logistics when we're doing it. It's not just a private developer.
Just don't knock me off the air while you're doing it, okay?
Oh, because
when you're moving
the lines, we'll try not to. When was that? Was that 3 months ago or so?
I don't remember. It's been a while. It's been longer than that.
We should. Hasn't it? What? Was it September, October?
I don't remember. Whatever.
Time flies, Dan.
Things happen.
And so I'm not sure what will happen with those lots. We haven't been actively promoting them at this point. The next item was after Chicago and Lincoln Street stuff. Approved a contract with Amy Miller again for a retainer agreement for 2023, same as we have in the past. Very convenient to have Amy on retainer. She does a great job for us. It makes my life a lot simpler or easier, job a lot easier. We use her a lot. So what I mean by retainer is she's not hourly. And so we don't, you know, sometimes when an employee or a contract employees hourly, you'll kind of hesitate to say, well, should we or shouldn't we ask for advice here, because we know like the meter runs, right? And it's going to cost us this. It's going to cost us no matter what. So we might as well use her as much as we can. So we throw lots of things by her and do appreciate all of her work that she does for the city. So next item was we approved plans and specs for a UV or an ultraviolet improvement project. So we have to treat wastewater between May 1st and October 1st, I believe are the dates, through a UV system. It's just a regulation with the state, so we have to do it. And that system is failing. It's we're having trouble replacing some of the parts that are failing. And so we are putting a new system in. Hopefully if we get bids on it. It'll go out for bid now, but likely the work won't be done until the fall, because we have to disinfect between May 1st and October 1st. And so they don't just let you say, oh, just go ahead and do your project and we'll switch over at some point. It has to be continuous. So, that's the plan right now, is to have our old system go through the summer, and October 1st we'll be starting the new system. Okay. It's estimated about $350,000. We will be using some of our ARPA funds for this. We received about $1 million worth of ARPA funds. And what that's being used for is we did an Aquarius upgrade. The Aquarius system at the treatment plant had to be cleaned. And that was about a $400,000 project. And then we did some line improvement or expansion through the golf course of a line that will then now honestly it'll come to the bubble project that the college is doing. We call it the bubble project, the student center upgrades.
Yes.
That line will be coming further to the south as well through their property. So that again still has to be paid for, but it's just a matter of this will not be coming out of user rates. It'll be coming out of the ARPA funds that we have received. So,
well, out of curiosity, why is it a seasonal thing for that treatment?
You know, Dan, I don't know the science behind it, but during I think the warmer weather, things grow differently. Yep, and you got to zap it before it goes into the. And I don't exactly fecal coliform, those types of numbers that they regulate.
They grow better in the summertime.
Yes, that's my understanding. Again, that's a crap. No pun intended. It's a crapshoot here, Dan, that I'm saying. I assume it grows better in the summer because of warmer weather.
Well, I'll be the guess, but maybe you had some.
Should have brought Casey. Casey Junk should be here with me to answer all those questions. Or Seth Liston. Seth's kind of our guru with some of the biological stuff that happens at the plant. But so that was approved. So we will have to accept bids here, hopefully by probably the end of January or first part of February with that.
Okay.
We bought a sewer jetter for $96,000 last night.
Did we need one?
Well, you know, yes, Dan. We need to have a sewer jetter. Our current one is from 1994. It's having some issues starting when it should. And, you know, this time of the year, if you have an issue, you don't want to have to deal with something that might have carburetor issues or different things that are going on with that. And so, yeah, it's the life expectancy is gone. I think we're going to get about $1,800 trade-in value for our old one. So they're just taking it off our hands pretty much.
So what does this piece of equipment do?
So it cleans sewer lines.
I was getting...
And, you know, you don't want to use it a lot. And what I mean by that is you hope that your system is good enough that it's all gravity flowing where it's supposed to, or to certain lift stations and getting pumped correctly. But we have a handful of spots in town that we know that we have to hit every year. So we go out and clean them every year. So we don't have issues.
Is the equipment you use when you have to tell me I have to close the lid on my toilet.
Yes, but this is for our own internal use. We still hire people to come in and do cleaning throughout town.
Right.
Higher pressure. That's why your toilet has to, the lid has to be down in your basement.
So this doesn't give quite as much pressure as what they do.
No, it does not.
It does the job as what needs to be done on a regular basis.
Yep. So we hire people to come in and do some of these other things, and they've got, if we have issues with roots, they're cutting roots for us. We don't cut our own roots. That's a specialized machine. Those machines are, you're probably putting a zero behind that $96,000 to get a truck like that in and do that. Maybe even more than that. So this is general maintenance, and again, haven't bought one since 94, and it's needing to be replaced. So it likely won't be here for possibly a year just because of the supply chain stuff right now. So we'll be able to maybe stretch it over into the next fiscal year as well.
Okay.
So. Next item was an annual thing that we do. We amend wage and salary schedule. That salary schedule was approved really during the budget season. The council gave employees a 4% increase, a cost of living increase, and so that's built into the wage schedule. Then we also mentioned last night that we will likely be bringing this back before them again in February, because Betty goes through and has a wage survey that she gets from other communities, that we need to be comparable. You have to be comparable with your peers. Mm-hmm. And so we are anticipating that those numbers are going to be going up just with inflation, with cost of living being much higher than 4%. I mean, cost of living was 8-something, I think, this last year. And the other thing is with minimum wage going up, we need to be preparing ourselves for that as well. So we likely will be seeing this again in the next couple of months. So the mayor made some more appointments to different boards. He appointed Dusty Baker to the Civil Service Commission, Abby Shademan to the Planning Commission. And I didn't write the names down here, but I'm going to try to do this off memory, I guess. Revolving Loan Fund Committee with LB 840. Reappointments of Angie Fredrickson, Galen Weiser, and Brandon Mainquist. And then the Sales Tax Advisory Committee, which is 7 members. He actually appointed the same 3 to that committee as well, so there's some continuity there. Uh-huh. And then there's 4 new ones, Dan, or 4 other ones. Gary Bailey, who has been on that committee since its inception. I worked with Gary a lot on that when I was with Economic Development. So Gary Bailey, Mike Varley, Kirby Hall, and Megan Finn. So
I'm impressed.
I got them all, and not on my paper, Dan.
So I am very impressed.
I remembered them. So those 7 will be on the LB 840 Citizen Advisory Committee. Okay, keep rolling along here, Dan. Next agenda item was discussion with Wayne, an update on Wayne Community Schools and the future of Community Activity Center land.
Everybody's interested in that one.
Yeah, so would have been last week, the School Board's Facilities Committee and our Facilities Committee got together and discussed this. And what is going to happen is there's going to be a memorandum of understanding put together that the school's drafting. that we will likely, as a council, take action on January 3rd, and then the school board will on January 9th. And so the thought is to have an agreement in place, even though it's not a binding agreement. Mm-hmm. We don't want to spend the money to survey get the new lot pins put in and those types of things if, at the end of the day, if the bond doesn't pass and a new elementary school isn't built. That's why we're doing a memorandum of understanding. If the bond passes, and likely that would be out to voters, I believe, in March is what the school's planning.
Dr. Lanahan was telling me. Yeah.
And if that would pass, then we'd enter into a formal purchase agreement for that property. So This property that we're talking about is west of the activity center. It's west of the lower parking lot that the school would purchase. Those are air quotes. purchase that property, which is, we're thinking, it's under 4 acres. And then they would give us back a piece of property to the south that is, we have an easement currently on their property for the trail. So then the trail would be on city property and not on school property with an easement. They would give us that 0.2 acres or something like that.
Okay.
So in this memorandum of understanding, it'll spell out the plan would be for them to own the south parking lot, the west parking lot, the lower parking lot. We would maintain it, snow removal, those types of things. They will likely put up $25,000 to $30,000 worth of lights on that parking lot, which will enhance the activity center as well. Some of those types of things would be in a memorandum of understanding. At this point, money exchange, there would not be. I mean, it'd be probably a dollar. That's what we're going to at least discuss with council. This land was given to the city by the school.
Right.
Back in early 2000s. And so we'd be giving that property back to the school for their use. Now, it does have an improvement on it, a parking lot, that we can still use. So we think it's a good situation. And Dr. Lanahan has always said, you know, this does not make sense unless it's a win-win for both entities here. Not that it's going to be a win for them, a loss for us, or vice versa. So we think it's a win-win. We're in this together. We're all taxing entities. If we can help them out and they can help us out on certain things. Our biggest issue has been we would lose that area for flag football, tackle football, youth football. But the school has other property around there that they would then let us utilize. And so we'll work it out. I don't want to move football from the activity center area just because the kids have their equipment and stuff in the locker rooms. It's just convenient for them to be right there. So we'll do whatever we can to keep youth football in that area, and it'll need to be on school property then at that point. But they're very willing to work with us on all that. So,
okay.
That's a big issue that the council will be taking up on January 3rd, and then the school board when they hopefully set something for a bond issue at their January meeting. So more to come on that.
Yes.
Update on Methodist Church. The Methodist Church has agreed to sell us property north of Emeritus. If the city purchases the Emeritus properties, and so that hopefully a purchase agreement could be signed as soon as tomorrow when Amy gets that drawn up. So that was the update last night on that, and that was pretty much the open session discussion. The only other thing we did was when we came out of closed session on the Emeritus property. The council did authorize me to negotiate with Emeritus. So can't tell you much more than that, but they did authorize me to negotiate. So I've already sent off a text message this morning, and so we'll see where that all goes.
And based on how those negotiations go, they'll make a decision whether to move forward with that.
Yes.
Assuming.
We would have to then, you know, obviously sign a purchase agreement with Emeritus and all that. And again, for listeners, if you haven't been paying attention, this is for a possible new city hall or a new to us city hall area.
Yes.
So that's what I know with agenda items. I think that's all we had. Yep.
Okay.
We skipped anything. So.
All right. Anything else going on we need to know about?
Other things going on. We have put out back on social media, CRA property at 2nd and Logan Street. Still taking proposals on that. We did not get any formal proposals at a deadline, so we just kind of opened it up and said, we'll continue to take proposals. If, you know, if you have a, if you have an idea of what you want that land to be, let us know, and we would work with you on that. But stressing that it's not just they want to sell the property and make money on it. They want to know what's going to be there and kind of control that area on what would go there, whether it be business or residential. Going to be applying for $1 million grant for land acquisition, trying to do for housing. That is in the early stages. We had to do a letter to of intent last meeting, and then by middle of January, we'll have to submit a formal application to DED, the Department of Economic Development. Since we were awarded a rural, I have it in front of me here, the actual name, the Rural Workforce Housing Land Development Program is what this is called. And since we were an applicant, or we were a recipient of the Rural Workforce Housing Fund back in 17, we have a fund, LB 518, that the city contributed to, that the CHOTO actually applied for the fund, but since the funds it's sitting with the CHOTO. But since we were a partner with them during that time, we are eligible to apply for this grant. There's $10 million set aside. It will be highly competitive, but we're going to ask for the maximum and see where it goes. And that would likely be used for land acquisition, and then we'd match it with land development and dirt moving, water, sewer, storm sewer, streets. So
this would be for eventually for reselling to someone to put housing there.
It could be, and not a secret that we're looking at the property south or west of Western Ridge for right. Like a Western Ridge too. That's been kind of the thought for years and years. But that's the property we'd be looking at. In a perfect world, we'd have a developer come in, buy property, and do it themselves, right? And we could help supplement with a grant.
But if you get it ahead of time and have it,
but if it doesn't happen, yeah,
prepared somewhat for that purpose.
Right. Yeah. So what the CRA ended up doing last time with Western Ridge, that was a private developer was going to be doing that. They backed out and kind of left the CRA with the land, and so the CRA developed it themselves. I could see that happening as well, except this grant will be in the city's name. So that you'd have to be doing some things where you'd have to get the money to the CRA, or you'd have to be able to partner with the CRA to develop it. So we're splitting hairs on who develops and who doesn't, but the CRA just has a lot more flexibility to do some of that stuff than the city proper does. So anyway, that's, again, we haven't even applied for the grant. It'd be a huge, huge win if we could get it. But like I said, it's going to be highly competitive when you throw those kind of numbers out at people.
Okay.
So other than that, stay warm, you know. Hopefully this isn't a reoccurrence of Winter Storm Uri that happened February of 21. But Elliot is rearing his head. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be quite as bad, at least from our perspective on the electrical side. We've been in communication with our electric provider, and they say that, yeah, you know, pretty much be ready, but doesn't look like it's going to be quite the same situation as it was last time.
Yes. So certainly don't want to lose power when the weather gets nasty.
No. So,
okay.
Anyway, that's what I have for you today, Dan.
We'll keep plugging along.
Yeah. Then. No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Wes Blakey again, our guest today on The View from Wayne America.
The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne.